puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
That music means it's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro of the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, remind us of the clue from last week.
I hinted last week that I was going on an adventure, and if all went well, I would talk about it today. Well, things did not go well.
Oh, no.
I was headed to Port Nelson. It's a place we've talked about in this series many years ago. It's an abandoned seaport at the mouth of the Nelson River on Hudson Bay. I had arranged a boat to take me there, and I was supposed to meet the boat downstream of the limestone generating station, which is northeast of Gillam. Unfortunately, two natural phenomena conspired against me. The road from Thompson to Gillam was closed by forest fires. Even if I had managed to get to limestone somehow, it would not have been possible to take the boat. As a result of the dry conditions this summer, the downstream water levels in the Nelson are exceptionally low. My boat driver was concerned that he might damage his boat on exposed rocks, or even if he did manage to get through, he might not be able to bring me back upstream. So as a result, the trip was postponed to next summer when we hope there'll be more water. But we do have a lot to talk about today because there have been several updates about places we have discussed in previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, so we're bringing people up to date today.
Okay, so where do we start?
We go back to June of 2015, which was the very first episode of Abandoned Manitoba, where we talked about the former residential school at Birtle. I visited it several times through the years, and for example, I was there in November of 2018, where I met the young man who owns the building, owns the property around it. And I saw how badly deteriorated the building has become due to the effects of vandalism and exposure to the elements. Now, the young owner did say that he was hopeful of being able to restore it in some way. Well, in June of this year, a CBC News article described the wish of some school survivors to see the building demolished. And of course, there are also investigations of possible graves on the grounds of the former school. The owner is willing to sell the property, not for profit, but he just simply wants to recover his investment. So I expect that we're going to be hearing more about this story in the coming months.
I see. And what's next?
Well, back in February of 2016, we discussed a site on the east side of Winnipeg in the rural municipality of Springfield, where during the Second World War, an explosive called cordite was manufactured. After the war, government officials worried that residual explosives might be an ongoing problem, so they demolished all the buildings at the plant rather than repurpose them. Over 70 years later, the site there is still undeveloped. But when I was driving past it 2 weeks ago, I noticed there was a lot of earth moving taking place as though something is being developed there. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what that is. I'm hopeful that perhaps one of our listeners knows what's going on and can enlighten me. But something's definitely happening at the site of that old explosives plant.
I see. So what else is next?
In March of 2016, we talked about a site in the Assiniboine River near Spruce Woods Provincial Park. In 1885, the steamboat Alpha was shipwrecked there. Back in 2003, when levels of the Assiniboine were low, one of my friends, Ken Story of Brandon, was able to find the wreckage of the Alpha. So I thought, because water levels are low again this year, that we might be able to relocate the remains of the Alpha. So back in May, Ken and I went there and we put out a diligent search, but we found nothing. I suspect either that the wreckage was washed away in the big flood of 2011, or in the course of time, the course of the river has changed so much that the site is now profoundly different than in 2003. Either way, it seems to me that the Alpha is lost forever.
Oh no. What else is next?
Well, in July of 2016, we discussed the former St. Vladimir's School for Boys in Roblin. It closed in 2002 and has been empty ever since. In 2019, I was able to see inside the buildings, and I found a lot of water damage due to roof leaks, but the buildings were otherwise in good condition. If only a new use could be found for the buildings. Well, in June, a listener advised me that the property has been sold and the new owner is fixing the roof. So I look forward to something happening good at the former school for boys there in Roblin.
Well, that's exciting. So what else is next?
Well, in October of 2017, we discussed the phenomenon of drive-in movie theaters and their decline over time. The focus of our conversation was the Delta drive-in on the west side of Portes la Prairie. The projection screen where they used to project the movies was still there as recently as 2019. Unfortunately, that is no longer the case. The screen is now gone.
Oh, I love drive-ins. That's a shame. That's a shame. What's next?
In August of 2019, I described some wonderful rock terraces on a south-facing hill in a small valley east of Roblin, where an Italian immigrant named Lorenzo Sarginia had established a magnificent garden, including numerous fruit trees. In the last 2 weeks, just in the last 2 weeks, I've been contacted by two of Mr. Sarginia's descendants, and they shared a wonderful collection of family photos, including ones of Mr. Sarginia and his wife, Maria. I hadn't known at the time that we did the story what he looked like. Now I do.
Wow, what a thing to discover there, Gordon. And what else is next?
In September 2019, I described a program of the federal government in the early 1960s to build small underground structures where radiation levels could be monitored in the aftermath of nuclear explosions. Of course, this was the Cold War. They were worried about the possibility of an atomic blast coming from the Soviet Union. Supposedly, 2,000 of these, what were called fallout reporting posts, were built across Canada, including 200 of them here in Manitoba. At the time of the broadcast, though, I knew about only two of them. In the past 3 months, that list has expanded to about a dozen, thanks to a provincial civil servant who has been given the task of finding them. The government apparently is worried that people may come to harm if they are caught inside one of these structures, and I'm now trying to arrange to have one of them excavated and moved to a museum so this aspect of Canadian Cold War history can be preserved.
These are great. How about another one?
In November of 2019, we discussed a prominent building in Brandon next to the 18th Street Bridge. It was built in 1911 as the headquarters for the International Harvester, a manufacturer of agricultural machinery. In mid-April, it was demolished to allow expansion of the adjacent bridge. It was on the Manitoba Historical Society's top 10 list of endangered structures for 2020. Speaking of other top 10 endangered buildings, my sources tell me the grain elevator at Homewood that is on the MHS's 2021 list will be demolished in the next few weeks.
Oh, no. And we have time for one more.
In June of 2021, so not long ago, I described a small cemetery near Rose Isle that was established in 1929 by a Hutterite colony that subsequently closed. When I visited the cemetery back in May, I found it very nicely tended. The grass was mowed. There was a nice little fence around it. I have subsequently found out why. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by a descendant of some of the people buried there, and she was able to provide details about those people and, in fact, asked if I would read a family memoir that she's written that describes a lot about the history of this long-abandoned colony. I received it just this past week, and I look forward to learning more about the history of Hutterites in Manitoba.
And is there a way for listeners who want to know more about these places, and how do they do so?
Well, we have an archive of the entire 6+ years of abandoned Manitoba on the Manitoba Historical Society's website. There, people can listen to the original conversation about all of these sites, 287 of them in total, wow. Over 28 hours of listening.
Amazing.
Wow. And there's also pages on our website where each of the places that we have discussed with photos, more information is available.
Thank you for that, Gordon. Now, what's up for next week?
Well, what got me traveling around the province in search of history was a bank vault near Deloraine. Next week, though, we're going to consider a different kind of vault. In this case, one near Melitta.
Looking forward to that, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.